Hello and welcome back to your favourite gardening podcast.
Welcome back. And this week, normally I would tell you, this is the bit where I tell you the guest we've got. This week we don't have a guest. We are the guest. We are our own guests. So I hope that hasn't disappointed anybody too much. But we thought it was a good time to do a bit of an update slash re-intro. Is that a thing?
Yeah, because I was thinking recently, if anyone new who's joined us, I say recently, we started this podcast, what, 2 years ago now, Nicole?
2.5. It'll be 3 in September. So we are literally like 2.5 years in.
Time flies.
Somebody asked me this the other day, so I had just recently calculated it.
But yeah, if you started listening anytime, I guess, between then and now, we are so...
But also, if you started listening back then, the intro episode from 2.5 years ago is not where either of us, with our kind of growing journeys now, so...
That is true. But I feel like you and I were so excited to speak to our guest that I don't think we ever say, like, I'm Sarah and I'm Nicole. So for reference, I'm Sarah and that's Nicole.
If they didn't guess, I'm the one that does the, like, crazy laughing most of the time.
And what am I?
I don't know, but that a lot of people do seem to comment on the mad laughing that comes from me, and I'm like, oh.
Ooh, and what you should know about that often gets edited out is that Nicole also fluffs up her words the most.
Mm.
It never makes it on air. You never, well, very rarely. She often gets her tongue all twisted. It's great.
I do manage to hold back the swearing like a sailor.
Sometimes, yeah.
I could just say that for you, especially for you.
Yeah. And what am I, what do I bring? I've often had a glass of wine before recording. I find that really helps get the juices going. So I think sometimes, I think my job is the childish humour, and that's fine. I don't
definitely mind
that job. Mm. Okay, I had an idea as part of this introductions idea. I thought I could try and introduce you and you could try and introduce me.
Oh, wow. Okay, that is a lot of pressure. I don't have to pretend to be you in the intro, do I?
That would just confuse the people who don't know our names even more.
I'm also not very good at impressions, not at all. So that offensive.
But also we should do it in the style of your really serious guest bios. Okay.
Are you going to go first or am I? This is hilarious.
This week we are joined by... Oh, can I say your last name? Do you put that on the internet?
Oh, I don't know if I'm ready to share that much information with people. Let's stick to first names only. Okay.
This week we are joined by Nicole from the Rose... Is it the Rose... Wait, no. What did you rename your garden to? This is terrible. Look at me. I've not done my homework.
This is what happens, listeners, when you decide to wing an episode.
Okay, let me try again. This week we are joined by Nicole, famous dahlia lover. Nicole by day does a very serious, rule-abiding big girl job. By day, Nicole has a very big, big girl job. By evening and night, she is a chicken mother, a dog owner, and an allotment grower. And she loves dahlias. I don't know what else to add in there. I just feel like
I'm quite impressed.
I didn't want to out your job on the internet either, but everyone should know it's very big girl pants.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't, the less said about the better. Financial services, very...
boring.
Well, I find it interesting, otherwise I wouldn't be still doing it, but for most people...
Oh, like mine's any less boring.
Right, let's do you. This week's guest is Sarah. Sarah likes to say she's new to the gardening world, but she's been around a little while now.
Shh, I'm a newbie.
She has a new growing space, which she'll tell us about shortly, and has previously had some big gardening projects. Sarah is a lover of the bright colours. She likes a tropical coloured bunch and is partial to a ranunculus.
I'd say that's mostly correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mostly
you did forget.
Oh, wait, I forgot. I was coming on to the personal bit.
Okay.
Sarah is a... I'll do the same as you. Sarah is a marketer by day.
Oh, thank you.
Also, she makes my job sound out to be scary, but she also has a very important job, although it's marketing, so I don't know how important that is. It's an important firm, right?
Rude. Are we fighting in our different little corporate functions?
Oh,
now?
I don't know. All my marketing colleagues, I think, would murder me if they heard me say that. Apologies, marketing gods and people. That was a joke.
We accept your apology.
And also is a dog mother to a very cute dog.
who actually is making a load of noise, if you can hear that right now. He just handed me a rubber wheel. It's like he could hear you. So thank you. That was nice. I enjoyed that.
Okay, thank you.
Well, and I guess that gives good background. We both have big girl day jobs. This mm-hmm. podcast is our fun...
absolute side hustle, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a hustle, though. We have a group of Patreons. So if you're not a Patreon, yes. we'd love it if you could join us. Our Patreons pay for our editor, Simon, who isn't part of this recording, but maybe could have been.
we should have got Simon involved in this. Oh, bless him.
But Simon is our wonderful editor, and we are able to hire him because of our Patreons. So we're very grateful for their support. And we do this mostly out of the love of our hearts.
Yeah, because our big girl jobs, unfortunately, wouldn't allow us to do the editing too, because actually you may not know this, but when we started recording all those many, many, many months ago, Sarah was a freelance marketer, not in big girl pants job, and had much more time, thanks to lockdown, etc., to do the editing herself. You became a self-taught editor, didn't you? And we just about managed to cobble together the episodes in time for Friday every week.
So if you've noticed a drastic... Steve, okay, I think everyone heard that. We get it. You want to be involved. Let's confiscate that. Rubber snake. So if anyone who's been listening from the start, you may have noticed a real quality of editing jump. And that would be when we hired Simon.
It would be.
So if you were wondering... Thank you, Simon.
And if you're a Patreon, thank you, because we literally couldn't do this without you anymore. The podcast, and I'm not exaggerating by saying this, right, it would not exist without the Patreons, because this takes a lot of time and effort to source guests. We do research before every episode. We
argue about what we think the upcoming flower trends are going to be.
It's a lot. And the editing is no mean feat, so thank you. And if you were thinking about becoming a Patreon, we also have the super secret side episode every week. It's turned into a bit of a sales pitch, this, hasn't it?
I'm very sorry. We'll get it out of the way. The marketer and me, we're disgusting, honestly. I'll just take myself off home.
You are at home.
Shh, they don't need to know that.
So yes, we appreciate you all, and if you want to join the club, the literal club, we would love to have you. So shall we move on to like how we would in the normal episodes and give our own bit of an intro, like how we got into gardening and what our kind of space is at the moment?
Yeah, who's going first?
You go first.
How kind of you. So I have been a gardener for, well, when did lockdown start?
That was 3 years ago.
Wow, time really flies. I've been gardening for 3 years now. My granny has always been a gardener, but I never thought it was like cool enough until, you know, I was like locked in my house with nothing else to do. And apparently when I do things, I don't do them by halves. So here I am on a gardening podcast. And essentially...
which is all your idea, don't you forget.
Hey, I'm a big project girly. Previously lived actually on an army base, and there was some unused ground there which I converted into a community cut flower project. So we grew and arranged and delivered hundreds of bunches to the families of deployed serving men and women during the pandemic. So I went from having never grown a flower, possibly in my entire life, to growing hundreds and hundreds of them.
And then arranging them with... the now queen was the Duchess of Cornwall.
Wow, I forgot about that. Yeah, I had some real peaks and highlights in my community gardening era. I met Prince Edward, came to my garden, and so did the now queen consort, Queen Camilla.
I think she's going to drop the consort bit soon, isn't she?
Is she? That's very exciting.
Yeah, after she's coronated, she'll just be the queen.
They did both rudely come in non-flowery seasons. Edward rudely came in October, so pretty much nothing left.
I can remember that the night before, you hanging out the blankets over the dahlias.
Well, it's like, how do you give a royal tour of a garden that's got no alive plants in it? You're like, oh, here's my garden, and just use your imagination. Because in the summer, there's plants, but right now, dead. But no, so that's how I got into gardening. I since, sadly, handed over that community garden to another leader and bought a tiny little terrace townhouse in Belfast, actually. So I'm in the north of the country where it's very rainy and wet and cold. My little terracey townhouse has a miraculous feature. I have two gardens. Don't think that means they're big. I've got one little baby attached yard, like very city-esque. And then you cross over a little road that no cars go down, and I have a detached additional garden, which I'm calling the allotment. So that's my current growing space. I have approximately like five, I think like 5 meters squared in raised beds. I'm bringing the small garden vibes.
You're gonna make the most out of that space though, right?
Yeah, I've already got my ranunculus in, obviously. So we're in, we're doing the ranunks, we're doing the important stuff. And no, I think that's my growing space. Tell me about yours.
So I have been gardening for a little bit longer than you. I would say, gosh, maybe I'm coming up for 10 years of being a hardcore gardener, maybe a little bit less, but
love the use of hardcore there, love that.
I know, because I feel like you, I'm all or nothing. I'm in or I'm out. I am like hardcore hobbyist. If I'm doing it, I've got all the kit, you know, yeah. All the gear, mm-hmm. No idea. Mm-hmm. Except I feel like with this podcast, maybe I've got some idea now. Previous to that, I was, the thought of touching dirt was not my thing. But if you've listened to the podcast before, then you'll know that it was a cafe lay on Instagram that got me sucked in. I saw the damn thing and thought, I need one. Contacted a florist immediately who told me it's not often that florists get these in, especially just for bouquets, you know, occasionally for wedding flowers. If you want one, you'll have to grow one. So there was me, no idea. Managed to grow myself a couple of cafe lays the first year, and then the rest is history, as they say.
Well, you say the rest is history. How many dahlias are you planting up this year? Be honest.
Oh, no, I feel a bit sick thinking about it. I don't know where they're all going to go. But that was kind of what happened was I thought, oh, I want to grow more dahlias. Although I've got quite a big garden here, obviously with the dog and now the chickens, I didn't really want to put loads and loads of flowers in there. So I thought, oh, why not get an allotment? And I live almost within spitting distance of the allotment. So I put my name down for an allotment. I thought, oh, everyone says allotments take years to get. And the next thing I knew, within 6 weeks, the lady was on the phone like, do you want to come and look at an allotment? I was like, oh, okay.
Yes, please.
Let's look at this. And then I think in my first year I planted something like 15 or 20 plants, dahlia plants, strong. And then I was like, oh, what am I going to do with the other half of this allotment? I don't know if I told you this story before, but I thought, like, what's easy to grow? And everyone was like, grow a courgette. Courgettes are easy to grow. So I was like, packet of seeds. I'll plant all of the seeds. I planted 11 courgette plants.
No.
11 courgettes germinated.
No, no, Nicole, that's no.
And then I went to the allotment and I planted them out. A guy who'd been at the allotment for a while came over and said, I think you've planted those a bit closely. And so I dug up every other one and they'd literally just got in and I replanted them. Because I heard Monty on Gardener's World say that each courgette plant grows about 3 to 4 courgettes. And I was like, well, we like courgettes. So 11 plants. Okay, you know, over a season, 40-ish courgettes. I can live with that. He forgot to say a week. He didn't say 3 to 4 a week. I had so many courgettes that first year. I didn't grow any the next year because I couldn't look at one. I couldn't look at one again.
I bet all the other allotment people were laughing at you.
Well, do you know what? They didn't, because I was really lucky that the guy who'd had the plot before me had put this row of really tall raspberries in, like, to separate the two halves of the plot.
Right.
So my courgette plants were hidden from everybody else.
And so
but you
roughly
should have seen me going into work every day nearly with, like, carrier bags full of courgettes.
Wow.
Like, please take some.
Did you eat courgette flowers at least? Delicacy.
I had a few. Mm. Believe me, there's nothing courgette related that I have not tried to make or eat.
Hey, I've recently, wait, is this interesting? Who knows? I've recently started eating like Greek style meatballs with courgette in them.
Yes,
courgette,
I've eaten
feta,
those.
Lemon, delicious.
I've eaten courgette fritters, cake, soup, in a quiche, roasted is a preference. Particularly like a roasted one, but I've had every kind of courgette ever.
That's intense. I enjoy that for a first year error.
Yeah, just a lot of dahlias and a lot of courgettes. That's how it was.
I can't remember doing anything similar my first year. But ironically, I can remember, I think maybe the summer before my big first summer of gardening, I do vaguely remember trying to start a load of seeds in my mum's house, because she lives in Kent in like the southeast of England where it's really warm.
The garden of England.
And I remember just like having this concept of wanting to grow something but having absolutely no understanding of the logistics of growing something from seed. So obviously just like went, I think maybe to B&Q and picked out a few things that I was like, they look nice. And I took no notice of when they should be planted, how deep they should be planted.
Oh. or
those concepts just had not occurred to me. So I just like plonked them on some soil and watered them, and then a month later couldn't understand why I didn't get plants. And that story really, really entertains me now as someone who has, I literally have a windowsill full of tiny seedlings next to me right now. Each one was planted at like a different depth, and then it has a different sort of temperature and different like styles of planting and different timings. And literally the first time I ever tried to garden, I just bought some seeds and dumped them on some dirt and then was like, huh, why
not? Sometimes that works though.
Not for me. It's been a steep curve.
Yes. Also, after that first year of growing at the allotment, I was there a couple of years, I think, on that plot. Last year, I moved to a bigger plot, mm-hmm. a double plot. Me and Tom have got one each, technically. Although, obviously, I'm the one who has the say in what goes where, right?
Of course.
But we took it over with a little polytunnel, which has been a learning curve like nothing else. I'm 2 years of growing in that tunnel, and I'm still not sure. It's like the desert, what it does to the soil in there. But I'm getting there. I feel like and I'm going to say this about an allotment, and probably the same for a garden as well. Like the first year, you're literally fighting it because I had dock weeds. I've still got the bloody thistles. There was gooseberry bushes, which are evil. Can I tell you, they're evil. I've got brambles. So the first year, I feel like you spend fighting a space unless you're lucky enough to take over somewhere that's been immaculately looked after. The second year, you're still fighting a little bit, but you're growing a bit. And then the third year is when things start to come together. And I'm in the third year of this plot now. And I feel like, yeah, so it's 3 years, actually. It wasn't last year I took it over, it was the year before. I feel like this third season in this plot, I really feel like I'm getting to grips with it. And I gave up the other plot just in my third season. So I just sort of got it all the way to the place I wanted it to be in. And I handed it over to somebody else who is looking after it very nicely. They were very impressed at how tiny it was when they took it from me. But you know, now I just feel like I've got the beds ready, I know where things are growing, you know, I've got the like longer term things in there. But this year I'm almost starting to panic because I've definitely overdone it on the dahlias.
You? I'm so surprised. What do you mean?
The problem is I ordered a whole bunch of rooted cuttings from Halls of Heddon.
Obviously.
Lots of pretty ones. Then I'd see like somebody growing one on Instagram and I'd be like, oh, I wonder if Halls of Heddon do that one. And then I just, the next day I'd be like, can you add this on? Can you add that on? And I remember when I rang them the first time that David answered the phone, we got into a right chinwag about the different types of dahlias that he liked and what were his best sellers. And like the next thing I knew, I'd added another 4 on. I saw another one and I thought, oh no, I need another one. I need that one. And so I actually don't know how many more I've added on because they're not on my original email.
Right, that's your excuse.
This is going to come as quite a shock to me when they turn up. And I've got a feeling it's going to be very soon.
That ethos reminds me of me at one of those like fancy work do's where you just hold your glass of wine and people fill it up.
Oh, dangerous.
Because
dangerous.
I sometimes, little old
You've drunk, only had one glass.
Yeah, little drunk me is like, well, I only had one glass.
It was just never empty.
Yeah, and I feel like you're doing the same thing for your dailies. You're like, well, my order form says 12. And the rest, just
The problem is, I think the order form says 30.
Well, maybe you need to go to Dahlias Anonymous.
And then, not to mention the tubers I ordered as well. I think I've potted up 15 tubers. I think I've got another 10 in a box.
I have 6 in my spare room. On the
Tom was just throwing out the recycling just now. And he was like, oh, I just turned this box upside down. And this dahlia just fell out. And turns out I'd ordered another one from somewhere else. And it was in the bottom of a box that I hadn't taken out.
Oh my God.
Because it had raspberry canes in above it.
Obviously.
Good thinking found it.
Yeah, I'm renovating my little terracey house right now. Pure chaos. I've got no doors on any of my rooms. Not even on the bathroom.
Hopefully on the outside doors.
Yeah, I do have external doors. Thank you. Because those are horrible PVC that I inherited from the previous owner. But all the internal doors are like beautiful solid wood, so I've sent them off to be stripped, and like all the upstairs is being replastered. It's like pure chaos. And just on the floor in what will be my bedroom but is right now the dahlia's bedroom, they're just in the middle of the room so they get the best sunlight from the window, just on a little gravel tray, enjoying my master master bedroom while I sleep in the living room. Yeah, they're having a wild time.
You make it sound like you're on the sofa. You've got a bed in the living room.
Yes, a hilariously large bed. It's a king-size bed in a tiny living room. So there's like a little 30 centimetres on either side just to like squeeze round, which is great. What more could you need? To the joys of a reno. So your allotment this year is going to be dahlias as ever, sounds like.
I'm really excited. And I've got a lot of snapdragons as well. Do you know, one of the biggest things that I've learned from starting off gardening, and I know that not everybody's climate kind of allows them to do this, but it's the autumn sowing. It's been a massive game changer for me.
And also,
I know it does take a bit more work, but it's definitely been the way forward for me.
I found Lisa Mason Ziegler, when we had her on the show, that woman's autumn sowing knowledge is just endless.
She's a demon.
She autumn sows some things that I would never consider, but they just imprinted into my brain, like Statis. Statis is reasonably hardy.
My Statis, actually, that I just left it at the allotment last year and didn't pull it up. And it did really well until we got that mad hard frost, but I think it was sort of on its way out anyway. But I think the difference with like what Lisa does is, which is what I didn't do this year but it worked for me, is, you know, she starts obviously in soil blocks, and I have had quite a few messages from people saying they didn't last throughout the winter, but that's because you've got to start them that early that you can get the soil blocks in the ground so they can get their roots down to then survive the winter.
Yeah.
They're not going to live in soil blocks all winter. No. That can't happen.
And if anyone wants additional resources, on her Facebook, Lisa has all this information about her Statis. And there are some other things that aren't coming to mind right now.
Straw flowers.
Yeah, and I feel like Bells of Ireland as well, maybe. I don't know if I got it from her or somewhere else. She also has a book.
I've found cool flowers.
Stevie's just scraping around, if anyone can hear that. Honestly, he's demanding so much attention right now.
But yeah, so I autumn sowed predominantly my sweet peas and snapdragons, and they are looking amazing. I also did Orlea, Breeza Maxima, Sweet Williams, but I haven't planted those out yet. I don't know what they're doing or what I'm doing with them. But the sweet peas are looking great. They're all planted. I went to town with the sweet peas this year. I should really count how many plants I've got.
No, you don't need to know. Just admire them. You don't need to know you've got
There's
a problem.
I know I've got a problem.
I felt really guilty because I am trying to commit to growing some food this year as well. Shock, horror, a crime, criminal, disgusting. But you know, in the current climate, it just seemed reasonable. I planted up my sweet peas and my eating peas, and I have twice as many sweet peas as eating peas. And I was like, clearly my priorities are still on the flowers. Well, I know in the trays, I sowed 10 of each variety, and I had about 10 varieties, but I haven't put them all in the, I'm actually growing them in pots, shocking. I've given some
away. You've
got like
100 sweet peas in your tiny little space.
I'm giving some away though as well. I was over generous with the sowing because I'm kind of just giving them away to neighbours and handing them out.
Okay.
I do have at least 30.
Okay.
Maybe 40.
I've got more than 100, that I know that much at least.
Yeah, well, I'm being sneaky because obviously I've got my roughly five square meters of like obvious growing space, but then I also have, like, if you can picture my little weird additional allotment garden, you come out of a little gate from my yard into the extra space, and the wall that the gate sits in gets the sun all day, so I'm growing the sweet peas up that wall, and then as well as my
so technically in the road,
but it's not a road,
or it's a little lane.
Yeah, the cars don't drive down it. It's a very interesting concept. No. It's only for the bin men. So the bins,
what does the bin lorry go down there?
No, that's the other mystery. The nice bin men by hand come up and so random and drag the bins down to the end, and then we have to go back.
I really particularly liked your move there. I'm disappointed the guests couldn't see.
We should start recording these. I feel
the bin men sort of shimmy.
Yeah, they do
there.
Shimmy down. So it's a mystery what the road is for, if I'm honest. I'm trying to utilize all of my space, my sweet peas, my eating peas, and then I think in the later season my beans are all going to go up this wall, because the wall should get nice and warm and it gets the sun all day.
Good thing.
So I'm like, I'm really, I think that's the issue with small spaces. You have to make use of every little nook and cranny.
Yeah. Even with a big space, I mean, I've obviously got the allotment and I just like to use every little corner possible. Like, I'm growing the nasturtiums kind of like along the edges of the beds and things. things just to somehow ram them in there.
Yeah, I made a controversial choice. I'm not growing nasturtiums because A, they were really hard to get hold of.
I thought you wanted some.
Well, I no longer do want some of your stash because I did find some in B&Q and then I really looked at them and they're just not in my colour palette. I never thought I'd be this person.
No, I don't necessarily grow them for their colour. I grow them as a sacrifice.
I know, but they're just, I've got such a small space and I'm trying to really commit to a cool toned pink vibe. So I'm avoiding all the like peachy tones and I'm trying.
I don't know how you're doing it.
Honestly, it's really painful. But also I find it so much easier then to make bunches because if I can only grow a small amount of things, I need absolutely everything to go together. So I'm having to be brutal in turning down things that I would love to grow. It's very sad.
So you've got your dahlias, you've got your sweet peas, you've got a bit of veg. What else is on your list for this year?
Well, actually most of it's on this windowsill right here. I'm very sad we're not recording this, but I have snaps getting pretty big. I've got a select little few status plants for filler. I've admittedly mostly got veg now I'm looking down this row. I've got some dill because I thought dill flowers would be nice. Yellow, mm-hmm. but yellows kind of go with the cool tone pinks. Mm-hmm. She says I'm lying to myself. I've got some nigella. I got the white one.
African Bride?
Yes. And I also have the Transformer Nigella, the one that's like a green monster.
Oh.
Very excited about that. Is it a pointless one when I have small space? Maybe, because it's not really a performer, but
it's
too late.
Gotta have a bit of fun, though.
I deserve joy. And then those are my main ones, and then dahlias. And then I'm going to sow some asters for my late season flowers as well. And then I need to sow some gyp. It's still on my list of things still to sow.
I am really surprised at how well my gyp is doing.
You hate gyp.
I know I do, but 80s gyp.
Okay.
I'm growing Covent Garden, which I'm jury still out on until I see it.
I have a new one. It's a double gyp.
What's it called?
I'm coming up completely blank, but I will put it in the show notes afterwards. But it's a beautiful double gyp and it looks very modern compared to the traditional varieties. I'm very excited about it.
Well, I thought that the Covent Garden one looked quite modern. I thought if it's good enough for Wolves Lane.
Oh, listen to you. When I grew it in my first year, you were all like, oh, that's so ugly.
Yeah, but you did grow 80s gyp.
No, I drew gyp Covent Garden. Thank you very much.
Oh, did you? I thought it was the 80s gyp. Apologies, I'd take that back then.
Okay, retract that statement.
I'm also growing, and I think I've only managed to keep 5 plants of it alive, is the Argentine forget-me-not.
Ooh.
And I'm desperately trying to remember who told us to grow that.
Ooh, could be anyone.
But yes, I'm growing those as well. I am also, what else have I got in there? I'm trying to think of what's in the greenhouse at the moment. I have some straw flowers. Mm-hmm. I have status. I have a lot of stocks growing, which are going to walk out of their trays soon, I think. You're not meant to let them get root bound. So that is a job for next week to get sorted. I have got some more sweet peas. I spring sown sweet peas this time. Don't ask me where they're going or what I'm doing with them. They might have to go in pots or up an obelisk or something.
Oh, can I say something before I forget?
Yeah.
Okay, listeners of the world, I have a request. So if you have a gardening date that you can assign to another date in the calendar, for example, I saw someone on TikTok who sows their peas on St. Patrick's Day because peas are green and St. Patrick's Day is generally also green. And they have attached those two dates together, and that's how they remember when to sow their peas. And I sow my sweet peas on Valentine's Day because Marin told me to. And so now when Valentine's Day comes around, my little brain goes like, TikTok, need to plant my sweet peas. I would like more of these dates because I'm chaotic and all over the place. So if anyone else has any other dates that they assign to a planting date, I would really love that, please and thank you.
And also, the other day when I was planting the sweet peas, I actually thought, the sweet peas are heart-shaped. And then I saw Marin put something, oh look, the sweet peas are heart-shaped.
Me too.
I knew I wasn't imagining
soulmates.
It.
Soulmates.
We are.
Yeah. Don't tell your
husband. If only she wasn't, what, 5,000 miles away, is it? 6,000 miles?
Yeah, and if only you weren't married.
Oh, yeah, that. I'm Marin can be an exclusion for that. That's fine.
All pass.
So, and I've also got a lot of veg on the go.
Ooh,
this year
veg
as well.
To me.
I'm growing leafy things. Yeah. So I've got lettuces. I've got like 3 different types of lettuce. I've got pak choi, which I'm quite excited Bold. About. Kale. I tried to think about things that I like to eat. You pulled a face at the kale.
Oh, kale's not for me.
Oh, I quite like it.
Too healthy.
Chard. I love, love, love chard. Mm. I'm growing a pink chard this year, which I think it's called Pink Passion. Yes, of course, you know. It goes with the dailies then. The other thing I'm growing, which I've never grown before, I've got an extra frame to use. I'm going to try and grow some squash to climb up a frame.
To cry.
To cry.
I'm not sure where you're going to go with that.
To climb up a frame. And I had some new seed and I had some old seed. So I just planted a lot of seed. And I think I planted 4 seeds of 7 varieties. So I've got quite a few. And wow, those things come up quick on a heat map.
Yeah.
I've got little aliens. I love how they look almost like a pistachio nut in the shell that just sort of cracks open. And then next thing you know, these little alien heads shoot out. And I've got lots of different ones.
Do you ever think if you were here we go. You're going to laugh at me. But do you ever think if you were a plant type, which plant type would you be? A hard to germinate phlox or a bean that's I'm out there. I'm doing this whether you like it or not. No, I'm asking you tough questions today.
If you ask my husband, I think he'd be high maintenance phlox.
But you like to think you're an easygoing pea.
No, I'm not in the realms of pea.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I would go rose I'd go rose because I'll tell you why. I definitely need feeding.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not adverse to a bit of pruning, aka beauty regime.
I like that. Yeah, okay.
And lastly, I know you shouldn't say big-headed things about yourself, but I always smell good.
Wow, that's a big, bold claim, Nicole.
I spend a lot of money on perfume.
Do you? That's new information. Okay.
You know this about me, surely.
I don't think I do. I think that's new information. Yeah. I mean, we still haven't met in real life. It's probably the most old piece of information we could give people listening today.
Well, when we do finally meet, get a good smell.
Nicole!
I'm going to have a hug.
Yeah, that's true.
Breathe
I feel that's extra funny when you think about the story of when we almost met.
I'm still annoyed about that. Do you know, I only just got the refund for that tragic train journey that never was.
Listeners, picture this.
We'll leave the listeners with the tragic story of our almost meeting.
As in, you don't want to tell them?
No. We can tell them and then...
Then we'll depart. Okay.
Then we'll depart.
Well, so... Oh, but I haven't talked about my vegetables. We'll do the story and then my vegetables. Fair is fair.
Do your vegetables first. Okay. Do your vegetables first.
Oh my god, full chaos. Okay, vegetables.
Are you doing courgettes too, though?
Yeah, but I haven't
move on,
started mine yet because
I haven't
it's
started
cold
mine
here,
yet.
So
I'm starting mine next week, so you've got plenty of time.
And I was also trying to think about how many plants I need, and I think one.
I think one, possibly two. I am going to go for, I think, 4, but only because Bold. I want the different varieties.
Right. I've only got one variety. I'm trying to be well-behaved with my seed purchasing now that I've, branched out into vegetables.
Would you like me to send you a couple of seeds, a different one?
Oh, yeah, go on. Don't tell anyone. I've got courgettes, but I haven't started them yet. I'm growing sugar snap peas.
Mm.
Because I thought they were the most efficient of the peas.
Are they the same as, excuse me for sounding like Del Boy, but are they Monge too?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm growing those too.
Yes, good choice. Because
they were good last year. They go white, they go nuts. Do you know what variety you're growing?
Snorley. Did I make that up? Does that have a real variety?
Sort of, my love, because it's just gnarly. But I think you've snap peas and gone snorley. It's just gnarly.
Well, if anyone else is growing snorley peas, you gnarly sugar snap peas. Because I feel like when I grew peas in the community garden, I grew normal garden peas. And I feel like you would need 10 plants to get one small portion. You'd pick all
also,
the pods,
do you know,
and then you'd depod them and you'd have 12 peas.
I noticed you said you were going to grow them up the trellis.
Yeah.
You know they're short, Norley.
Oh, sad. I hadn't
they're short,
that
they don't
ahead.
Need to go up a trellis.
Okay. But I'll still put them near the wall
in that spot.
Because I don't want to waste my flower beds.
Okay.
Although
okay,
I did say plan. Technically I haven't, then technically not just flowers, but I'm trying to keep them just for flowers. because I've not, I've got a favourite child or anything, but I've got a favourite child and it's flowers. See, I'm growing peas, and then I'm also going to try and grow pickling cucumbers. It's very exciting. I'm going to grow them in my little courtyard. I've got a little corner that gets the sun all day, and so I don't have a greenhouse, but I think that's probably the closest I can do. And I've ordered some heritage varieties that are used to growing in the UK and say that they can be grown outside. So okay, fingers crossed for me and my cucumbers. I actually don't eat pickles personally. So it seems like an unusual project, but hey, you know, we've got to do these things. I've got salad. Mm-hmm. I've got like a wild heritage salad mix. I've got that going. And I'm going to sow my next round in a few weeks. I've got like continual salad. Mm-hmm. Brussels sprouts.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm also quite concerned because, again, I went for a heritage variety. And then I was reading about how genetics in vegetables, I really do read thrilling things in my spare time. But the genetics in vegetables, like scientists have bred Brussels sprouts to be less bitter. And that's why they're becoming popular, because they no longer taste quite so nasty. And so now I'm like, well, if I've got the old heritage variety, am I going to grow myself a bunch of really bitter Brussels sprouts?
Oh,
bit concerned, but I'll report back with my findings. I started some purple sprouting broccoli for next year.
Yes, I'm about to start that as well.
And then I've got my normal broccoli for this year, only like one or two plants, and I'm going to give all the rest of them away. And then I'm just peering over at my vegetable section. Oh yeah, I've got herbs. I've got basil and dill. Oh, I've got peppers. I've got a little mini greenhouse. I'm going to try and grow some peppers.
So we've both got a proper potager garden this year.
Yeah, I feel like we've really branched out. Maybe we'll finally have a vegetable grower on the show.
I've got somebody in mind, actually.
You heard it here first.
We might, if the listeners would like a rogue veg episode, let us know.
And here's, you know me, I always have a project. Every year there is something that I decide I must do. So this year it's growing mushrooms. It's not technically growing in the sense that you don't have seeds or dirt, but that is my project. I'm now a mushroom grower. My first flush is due imminently of grey oyster mushrooms. I'm very excited about it. I'm using the bucket tech, where you grow them in a bucket.
Where's the bucket?
You don't seem happy about my mushroom growing.
Where's the bucket?
The bucket lives in my spare room upstairs.
Is Stephen interested in it?
No.
You see, I think Willie would eat it.
Well, so what I have is I bought a sage green bucket because that brings me joy, obviously. And then you have like holes drilled in the side, and I'm growing my oyster mushrooms on wood chips. So you soak the wood chips, you pasteurize them, and then you inoculate them with special mushroom spawn.
Oh, you've lost me.
Oh, okay. Well, wait till I send you my mushrooms. Maybe I can win you over. Because also, let's not forget, I'm the crazy project lady. Like, you know, I was out here with my little soil blocks before you were on the soil block train.
True.
And my big grow light set up. I feel like I just love a project. So mushrooms is my current project.
Okay.
Legal eating mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just to be clear, oyster mushrooms.
Yes, if anyone in the law, legal people, I legal eating mushrooms only. Thank you.
Thanks for the clarification, because for one second did I think you were growing the illegal kind.
But people ask all the time. Everyone else that I've said, I'm growing mushrooms, they're like, oh, magic. And I'm like, no.
What kind of vibe are you giving off?
Hey, clearly wild one.
Right. So instead of leaving the listeners with like a tip, we're going to leave them with the story of how we almost met. And it involves one of our guests.
It does. So picture this. Because obviously I'm in Northern Ireland, and to get to England, I have to fly. And I was flying over something. But then two of our guests invited us to a book launch that was the day before I was due to fly. And I said to Nicole, oh, is this our moment? Are we going to meet at this event?
And I said, you've got to come. You've got to change that ticket. You've got to come. Today is the day.
Yeah. And so I said, fine. So I changed my flights to the day before. And I got up at literally, I shouldn't swear, the butt crack of dawn. I got up at like 3 a.m. I was at the airport by like 5.
No, that's not even dawn. That is nighttime in winter.
Yeah, the sun had not risen. I got to the airport at like 4:30. And then I was on my little flight to London. And then I did my whole day in my big girl job. And then disaster strikes.
I finished work. My dad gave me a lift to the train station because I bunked off work early so I could be there on time. Mm. You may also not know this about me, Sarah. It's not really about me, but my dad is the worst driver in the world. As you do know, I grew up in Istanbul. And no offence to any Turkish listeners, but Turkish drivers are scary.
Okay, that's new information.
My dad still drives like a Turkish taxi driver on the streets of Cambridgeshire. So watch out, anyone, if you see a bright blue Toyota Aygo. You want to avoid that car. So I got the lift to the train station, and by the time I got there, my nerves were shot, let me tell you. Got myself on the train, found my seat, sat down. I think it was probably only my third or fourth time on the train since like lockdown lifted, so it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I was all ready. I had something for you, didn't I? Your new microphone for recording. I'd got that in the bag. I was so excited to go, A, to go to the book launch. It was the Wolves Lane book launch. But even more excited because it was going to be our first ever meeting.
And then alas,
the train didn't move. And I was like, no. Why is this train not moving? And then I, on the tannoy, we're just clearing some debris on the line at wherever. We'll be moving shortly. Another 10 minutes. You're already there on your first glass of vino.
I had too many glasses of vino.
And I was still sitting on the train. Eventually, they decided to let us off the train.
So kind of them.
Eventually got off the train. But by then, another 3 or 4 trains should have been, so the platform was rammed, and I was miffed.
You were miffed, but I was also miffed. Because I pretty much was only... I was just mostly there, mostly to see you. Obviously, the event was very nice. And I did actually very much enjoy it without you, no offence. Eventually, after some wine. But I was also miffed because I had gotten up at 3 a.m. pretty much only just so that we could meet at a nice flowery event. I proceeded to have 3 cans of wine, which it turns out is too many cans of wine, to tell you that, scientifically.
When you've been up since 3 a.m, the combination of tiredness and tins of wine, definitely not a good one. But we need to rectify this. So I think I'm going to set the listeners a challenge to, I was going to say write on a postcard, but that maybe shows my age. Obviously, I mean DM the podcast.
Yes.
You know, back in the old TV days, they would say put your answer on a postcard and send it into the BBC. Are you too young to remember that?
I've got nothing. I'm sorry.
I think our
age difference is showing, soz.
Anyway, podcast and... give us your ideas for a meet.
Oh, I love that. Do you know what we should do? Oh, no, actually, I feel like we've heard each other talk quite a lot. It's bad. So we could do like blind date. We could go either side of the wall. Oh, no, I know it's you. Yeah, I could pick you out of a lineup without even seeing
you.
Yeah,
even if your voice was like masked, you know how like they mask witness protection people on like crime dramas.
So you're saying if I was an anonymous victim, you would out me. Is that what you're saying?
No, but I know it was you. I wouldn't necessarily out you, but I would know it was you. We've talked that much. There's no way I could not know it was you.
Yeah, that is true. It is mad. We have never met in real life, but we have spoken for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours.
And hours.
I also feel like with this show, I can now predict what's going to come out of your mouth. Like sometimes you take a breath when we have a guest on and you go and I'm like, she's going to ask about the chickens. I can feel it. That's what's coming next is the chickens. Predictable as ever.
I'd like to say it's predictable, but since day one we've had a hive mind.
It's true. Same brain.
Same brain.
Yeah.
And on that note,
no, so that's the sad story of our almost meeting
that we need to fix. Yeah. I've met more of our guests.
Pardon?
I've met so many more of our guests than, obviously I've not met you, but that was a weird way of phrasing that. But I've met several of our guests.
Hey, rub it in. Fine. I mean, hey.
And never you.
I didn't get to meet you at that event, but I did meet my now girlfriend. So swings and roundabouts. There we go.
This was a bit of a random tangent episode, but...
yeah. I mean, Simon, the editor, feel free to take out whatever you like. Truly. Go wild. But no, we hope you enjoyed that. We need a finale, Nicole. Would you like me to lead on the finale?
I'm all out. Wow.
Okay. Well, thank you for tuning in. We hope that for some of you who might have come into this not knowing who either of us are, you now know considerably more, whether you wanted to or not. So with that, next week we'll be back with the usual programming.
Good night, everyone. I say good night because it is actually nearly 9 p.m, which is probably signifies some of the quality of this episode. So apologies.
Again, I enjoy. We're just oversharing to the max. This is the time. This is what we're doing
I'm
right
now.
I'm
nothing if not an oversharer.
You are welcome.
Bye.
And they were done.